Hello, my conscious soul. This is Jay Wynn. Welcome to the Conscious Chess Podcast, where we bring inspiring individuals living purposeful lives in the hope of inspiring you to be your best authentic self. Today's episode is brought to you by CitySwap, the ultimate home swapping sub-leasing platform for remote workers and slow travelers. Use promo code 7BCXM, capital Z, capital D, capital S, to claim 50% of membership fees and start your adventure today. This is episode number 58 with Sam. Sam is a serial entrepreneur who focuses her services on flexible remote work. Being a digital nomad herself, she was able to build a six-figure freelance business while traveling around the world. Sam also created the Freedom Lifestyle Community last 2017. This community helps other freelancers achieve the quickest and safest route to freedom. In this episode, we discuss the complexities and essentials of doing remote work. Thank you for being on the show, Sam. I'd like to start off the show with a bit of your personal history and the turning point that led you to create the Freedom Lifestyle Community.
Yeah, I love telling that story. It's very dramatic. Because it wasn't one of those stories where I realized what my life looked like wasn't working and I courageously quit my job and I started a new business and changed my life. It's one of those stories where the universe kind of gave me what I needed, but I was too scared to go for it. So yeah, in 2017, I ended up losing an opportunity to work in a different country, but I had already quit my job to work for the new job. So for the first time in my career, I was unemployed and I had to quickly start making money. And so that's actually when I even discovered the world of freelance and contract-based work and flexible work. And I just immediately loved it. And all these light bulbs went off of what if I just kept doing this and never went back to a normal job.
In your previous career, what were you doing before and how were you able to quickly navigate into, say, like a freelancing or those type of gigs?
Yeah, my background was in sales, marketing, communications. Mm-hmm. So definitely those skills translated in various different jobs. The first year of freelancing, I just took on any type of work where someone would pay me wherever I am in the world. I could kind of do it from San Francisco, where my boyfriend was, or in Toronto, where my house was. And I could just kind of do it from anywhere. So I was doing like copywriting, social media management, influencer marketing, planning events. Like I basically just experimented until I figured out what I really like to do.
I love that how this all happened in 2017. Like previously, remote work has never been this popular before since the COVID-19 hit. And now, say like a bigger companies or, you know, workforces are more lenient to, you know, employees working remotely. But you were able to do this like since in the early stage, like when no one hasn't found this type of work yet.
Yeah, that's kind of what my challenge was originally. So the whole reason I was trying to leave my job for another company was exactly what you said. The company I was with, they had a very strict in the office 40 hours a week minimum policy. Absolutely not. I'm not even allowed to work from home for a day a week, let alone where I wanted to work from, which was San Francisco. My boyfriend was living there and I was in Toronto. And so I kept flying back and forth. So I felt like if I could just go work from there a couple days a week, then I could extend my visits to 5 nights instead of just like 2 or 3. So that was actually the original challenge, was remote work wasn't acceptable. And so I thought I would just go to San Francisco and get an office up there. But that's kind of how the dramatic story unfolds, where I chose a company, quit my job, and then the company I chose took back the offer because of my visa status. So it was pretty brutal.
Oh, wow. Wow. And would you say that what inspired you to create the community around the concept of a freedom lifestyle?
Definitely. At the beginning, it was a little bit selfish. I didn't know what I was going to do next. And
Of
back in
course.
2017, podcasts were becoming more and more popular. And I was interested in this idea of having a creative project to work on while I was figuring out my next step. So starting a podcast was actually originally, I was just trying to interview people who had what I called the freedom lifestyle. I figured if I can interview some other people who are working online, figuring out how to travel the world with their laptops, I'll learn how to do it and then I'll just go do it. So it was very selfish. It was just supposed to be a couple episodes for my podcast, but very quickly, the feedback was strong. Other people wanted the freedom lifestyle too. 7 years later, still have the show and very quickly turned it into a community and have just been adding to that movement ever since.
That's amazing because in order to have the podcast for a long time as well, most of the time, like people start a podcast, but they only last for like two or three episodes and that's it. And there's some sort of a luck in there as well, but it's amazing that you found your niche without even looking or, trying to find the niche and it all just happened. And maybe that could also be from like the divine's guidance as well. And when, you're doing something that you're meant to be doing, like everything just kind of falls into places.
Because I've now interviewed hundreds of what I would call freedom seekers. So people who want to create a business or pursue flexible work in order to kind of be in charge of their day-to-day lifestyle and not necessarily conform to 9-to-5 office life. So often I hear a similar story where someone wanted to be an entrepreneur, they knew the work life thing and corporate America and conventional lifestyle, it wasn't for them, but they didn't have an idea or they didn't have the confidence or the courage. And then something happened to them, like they lost their job or they were forced to make a big change and they were kind of just like pushed into it. So I'm realizing it's kind of a theme in a weird way.
And also, like, another thing is people don't have like enough resources as well. I feel in a way that if they want to start living the lifestyle of location independent lifestyle, people think that you can only able to do that if you're a multimillionaire or like this stigma around that type of lifestyle. But there are so many more ways. So, given your experience working remotely from various locations, what advice do you have for individuals to look into embrace a location independent lifestyle?
Yeah, I've been asked this before, and I think I've come to a really strong answer, which is you don't have to commit to it forever, right? Like any idea for a change in your life that you're curious about, you're gonna get so much information about what you think about it when you actually do it. That's also true for starting a business, right? So many people will spend a lot of time behind the scenes, strategizing, thinking how it's all going to work before they ever do it. And then the market tells them what actually works. And so the same goes for your life. If you think you want to be location independent, why don't you try working abroad for 2 months and see what that feels like? Do you enjoy what it's like to work in the middle of the jungle, which is where I am in Costa Rica. And, there's challenges with that. For me, I thrived and I come back. Other people want to go be in a bigger city and be in a place where there's more hustle and bustle and things to do. And you're only going to learn what you like, where you like to work, how long you like to be away from home until you go do it, because there's also a lot of challenges, like being away from your friends and your family. Like, not everybody is up for that. And so I would just say do it as a trial, one location, maybe two, for a set period of time, ideally more than just a couple of weeks, and then come home and reflect. And if you're like, I can't wait to get back on the road, then do a longer trip next.
And how do you go about selecting locations to work remotely? Like, as you mentioned, there's some places that are like, situated in the jungle, so their internet connection might not be that great. Or, are there specific criteria or considerations that guide you for your choice of destination?
I think time zone is pretty important for a lot of remote workers, depending on what your job is, but even not even what your job is. Like you're in Australia, I've gone and worked in that time zone before. It's kind of crazy. Like literally having calls at 2 in the morning, it was an experience. Like I was in Bali for a month and it was so strange. I would sleep in and then I would literally have the entire day and I would just go adventure, go to yoga. I would go for lunch, do some personal development, and then I would do the night shift where literally starting at 10 o'clock at night, I would start being on my laptop and being on calls. So, you know, that is also not for everybody. For me, it was a fun experience, but I don't think that would be sustainable for my type of work. So I think time zone limits me more than I would like it to. You're nodding along. You're in Australia. I'm sure you can relate to that.
I am also fully remote, so like I know the struggle. So for me, like when I worked in, say, in Bali, for instance, it works well. Japan works
Perfect.
well, right? Like perfect. Time zone is like perfect. Even in LA, it was great because even though a couple of hours, like 18 hours, were ahead or were behind, I can't
I think
remember.
behind.
Behind, yeah, right. But then it still works out fine because you're actually starting from about like 4 p.m. and finish around 11 p.m. Great. But if I have to go work in New York or say Europe, then I will have to be taking the course at 2 a.m. and then that would be a struggle.
Yeah, I work for several of my clients are remote companies, and when I have calls with some of their team members, their hours are literally like 11 p.m. till 4 in the morning because the company has core hours where everyone has to work. And it's usually based on, you know, North American time zones a lot of the time. So, yeah, that's super challenging. But I think if you had a job where it was more asynchronous, where you don't have to do a lot of calls or be collaborating with people in a different time zone, that would limit you less. I unfortunately just have a lot of calls and collaborate quite a bit. So time zone's a big one. I think that I've also just learned that I'm just not a big city person. Anytime I go to one of the main big cities like Lisbon, Athens, New York, even Toronto now where I'm from,
Really?
I just get kind of overwhelmed. I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm just much more of a nature person. I feel calmer in those environments. My nervous system feels better closer to nature and just being able to be outside a lot of the time. So that's something I've learned about myself in the last probably just like year and a half.
I love that, like how you mentioned earlier, because people just have to try it in order for them to discover things about themselves. So basically, whatever that might work for you might not work for the other person. Like you were mentioning that you might like that lifestyle of, you know, just being around in nature, but for some people, maybe it might relaxes them or they don't feel as motivated or as driven. Or some people might be working in the city and they would thrive in that environment, or some people would be like, no, I like honestly hate it.
Totally, totally. Yeah, I have a lot of friends who are really into food and like world-class restaurants. And in Costa Rica, I'm a small Caribbean coastal community, and you don't come here for world-class food. You know, it's a lot of rice and beans, very simple diet. And so I'm not really a foodie, so I'm okay with that. And like that's not a much for me, but I know my friends, like that's a high priority. Same with, I would say, like shopping or tours. Like that's not really something I care about as much. I would much rather go to a national park and explore that and see what the wildlife is like in a location. And like that's what I want to do when I'm not working.
And I want to talk about the whole like a work setup. I know that creating the effective remote setup is crucial. So what tips do you have for individuals looking to set up a productive and comfortable workspace in various locations or when they're traveling and working at the same time?
Yeah, that is actually a big thing I hear from people who've really invested at their work from home setup or in their office where they have like multiple screens, their wireless keyboard, their standing sit desk that's all ergonomic, and their special chair, and their webcam, and their wireless mic, and all these amazing things that are now available. When that starts to become your like baseline and you start to believe like that's the only way it can be productive and that's like the only way can be efficient, that's kind of a trap because that's really hard to travel with all of those things.
It's
And so
true.
I really like to keep it pretty minimalistic. I have a podcast mic that I'm talking into that like fits the size of my hand. That's a big one for me. I get really creative. I'm standing up right now. I keep things pretty low maintenance, and I think that has really helped me. If you are in that headspace, you probably want to go to a place where they have great co-working. And you just add that as one of your expenses is like a co-working membership that has the proper chairs and the screens and the soundproof rooms and all those things to make you feel like totally comfortable.
I agree with you because, like, I like to keep things very minimal as well. But for me, what really important is the proper chair, like a nice proper chair that, like, because I have a lot of back issues. So, like, I need a really comfortable chair to be able to, like, sit in it. Because when I was working in, like, some other places and they didn't have, like, a proper computer chair, I struggle a lot to stay kind of focus because my back was hurting. So I was like, oh, I can't really focus with work.
I hear you. I don't know if this is the best advice. It's just my honest answer, which is I just do a lot of yoga. Yeah, I literally will like sit on a couch and be in the most awkward position and work all day and be totally comfortable. But then I just go to like yoga 3 days a week and it kind of balances it out.
Oh my
So
God,
I don't
that's
know. That's what's
amazing.
been working for me.
That's amazing. Maybe I should try that. Yes. How do you say, like, when you're at the new countries and new locations, how do you strike a balance between, like, say you have work commitments and also you also want to experience the local culture and the surroundings?
Yeah, I know that's tough. I think that what's really helpful for that is the movement toward it's called like slow matting. So when I first started, it would be the classic, how many passport stamps can I get? How many countries can I go to? Everyone talks about like 30 countries before the age of 30 and all these kind of like ego vanity metrics. And at the beginning, for sure, I was attracted to that. The first thing I did was a South America trip, where every few weeks we were moving towns, one month, one country, and then to the next. And that was exactly the issue I was in. I would get to a new place and I obviously wanted to experience the new place. And so it was really hard to manage my work and experiencing the new place. And it sounds so simple, but it's true. Like if you just stay in one place longer, you will get it out of your system, you'll explore the place, you'll have the adventures. And like I've been in Costa Rica now every year for the last 5 years. I kind of know what's going on. So there's less like I have to seize the exact moment. It's much more, what is it like to just live and work here? And so that is really helpful, just like longer periods in less places. And then I don't know, I think for me, what's been really great is when I'm in a place that I want to be in, and there's things I want to do, I become so much more productive and so much more efficient. It's a similar thing that happens to parents where they just get so used to like doing as much as possible with that like few hour window that they now have while the baby's like napping or something. You become superhuman. And the same thing kind of happens to me when I'm in an amazing location. And I know as soon as I get these things done, I get to go to the beach and play volleyball. Or I can meet some friends for, you know, a happy hour, smoothie, and sunset. And so that also allows me to not just like aimlessly scroll on Instagram or be on Slack or things like that. Really helpful.
When you're at a different location, so building a sense of community is crucial. So even while we're all constantly on the move, so how do you foster connections with like-minded individuals or fellow remote workers while you're on the move?
There's a lot of different online solutions for this. There's a lot of companies trying to solve that problem, One client of mine is Safety Wing, and they've created a whole arm. Are you familiar with Safety Wing?
No, but I've heard yesterday from my coach about Nomadic or something like that. So it's a membership-based platform, but all the remote workers, membership-based, community-based meetups.
They started with more like health and medical insurance products. Like that's what they sell, but they're now like helping build this movement. So exactly right. They have these social gardens and this organization as part of them called Plumia. And within that, like I'm part of a WhatsApp group, for example, and they have the different threads and each thread is a
Oh.
different country. And so you can join something like that, plug into the country that you're going to visit, like technology, Facebook groups, tapping into these communities is huge. There's biggest Facebook group is Female Digital Nomads. I've had them on my podcast. They're doing a great job solving for that. So I think it's like there's a solution there if you want it to be. I will say that I'm realizing not everybody needs that. Like my husband, I think he, kind of rests on his laurels a little bit because he has me. He, he gets a lot of energy from me. It's a lot of socializing from me, So maybe I fill his social tank. But when he
Yeah, I love that.
But when he travels, he enjoys kind of a break from all the socializing and all the busyness that we have when we go back to Canada and we have to see all of our aunts and our cousins and catch up with our friends and do all of the things. So he actually uses our travel experience as a time for more introvert time. And so that's like a reflection I've realized for me. It's crucial. Like I need to have a social life. I need to have some female friendships in the town I'm in. And I make an effort to make that happen.
Do you have any sort of strategy in terms of finding, say, accommodations that are conducive to remote work? Because you mentioned earlier that you prefer to do slow traveling or having like a month and above. Are there specific amenities or features you prioritize when booking accommodations?
Yeah, I'm a big Airbnb person. I'll always choose Airbnb over a hotel. If it's more than 2 nights, then I'd rather an Airbnb. I want my own kitchen. I want to be able to make my food. I don't want to be going to restaurants all the time. So I like to keep things like be simple and be in control. So definitely Airbnb. And you want to ask about the internet speed. So it's very common to ask for a speed test image that they send you over of what their speed test is. You can also read the reviews and people will comment on that. Like if there was an issue with the internet, that's one of the first things people will comment on. So you definitely look for that. I even go through the reviews and like hit command find internet, Wi-Fi.
that.
Has anyone mentioned anything about this? And just straight up ask them, like, how strong is the internet? And then, because I'm almost always traveling with my husband, we both are on a lot of calls. We look for places that will have multiple rooms for us to work in. It can't just be one open
Office.
space, or else we'll just be like kind of driving each other crazy.
For those managing remote teams, what strategy have you found effective in fostering like a team collaboration and cohesion? I know that you mentioned earlier that most of the remote teams tend to stick to a specific time zone that when everyone can be online. Are there any like strategies do you have?
Yeah, there's a couple clients I have now that are fully remote. I have three clients who pay me every month on retainer, and they're a company that's all remote workers. So I kind of get to be a little bit of a fly on the wall, see how things work, and have picked up a few tips from them. So definitely having those core hours where it's not doesn't mean those are the it's not like the full, let's call it an 8 hour workday, but there's a 3 hour overlap typically where everyone's kind of expected to be in team meetings or in team calls, and that's the 3 hour overlap. That seems to work well for people. Also, like when you're a remote worker, your written communication, like in your organization, and really just communication needs to be so much stronger. Like you have to go out of your way to update people on what things are happening. And so sending Loom videos with an update, sharing your screen and talking to it. That has like been a really helpful trend I've seen as well. Using Slack, but also being really thoughtful about how you use Slack. So having channels for different things that you can organize them, and also having channels for things that are not work related so that your employees can connect with each other on topics that have nothing to do with their job. And then lastly, I would say it's kind of an ironic thing, but having physical events together. So even though you're remote and you have no office, the reason I've been working for remote companies is I've been helping them create in-person, like, destination retreats where they fly everyone to one location, anywhere from 4 to 7 days, for everyone to do programming, work together, little hackathons, team building. And those are really meaningful moments. And then when you go back to work, your bonds are just so much stronger.
Yeah, I love that approach. And I know, like, mornings, I mean, personally, like, mornings for me are quite important. In terms of, say, when you're in a new location, how do you structure your morning's rituals? Like, are there specific rituals or routines that you constantly or consistently follow, like, just to start your day?
Totally. Yeah. I think whenever you're trying to create a habit, I really believe in the putting a reward at the end of your habit and also habit stacking. So let's say there's something you want to start doing, a habit that you want to build. So a best practice is to connect that habit to something you're already doing, and then ideally rewarding yourself for it. And so I really wanted to create a morning routine that would ground me, that would make me feel like no matter what happens for the rest of the day with work stuff or clients or chaos or weather or anything that could go wrong, I want to start my day really well and it'll already feel like a win. And so one thing I really wanted to do was start meditating. And that was really hard for me, but I knew that was something I could take anywhere in the world. You know, you could literally meditate anywhere. And so basically the habit I created was every morning, I've had a cup of coffee every single day. I must have been an infant the last time I didn't have coffee, but I love coffee. It's how I start my mornings. And so what I did to build the habit was I wake up, brush my teeth, have the coffee being made, and I have a couple things that I have to do before I get to have my coffee. I have to do my meditation. I have my grateful journal. Ideally, I read a few pages of a personal development book, and then I get to have my coffee and go on Instagram. Yes. And I'm just going to do it for a little bit. And then I start my day. I've always made my plan the night before. That's also huge. So I don't like go on Instagram and then be like, what am I doing? I'm like, I get my dopamine hit. I have my coffee. I scroll on Instagram. I see my updates, do it for one cup. And then I go start my day.
Regardless of the location that you're at, are those the kind of morning routine that you stick by consistently?
Yes, consistently. I have the exact same 5-minute grateful journal. I bring that with me anywhere. I use the Spotify like forest sounds playlist. I put my headphones in. I put a timer on my watch for 12 minutes. These are things I can do from anywhere. I always have coffee when I go to an Airbnb. It's my first night there. I think about how I'm going to have coffee the next morning. And I figure that out as part of my like entry to the new place. So yeah, I do that. And even when I'm back home in Canada and I could be doing other things, that's how I start my day every day. And I also have a routine for how I end. And that's really helpful too. So again, like closing my laptop at a certain time, doing the journal again, but the nighttime questions, reading on my Kindle, just like these rituals really help me start and end my day thoughtfully.
Yeah, I love that because I think for me as well, like I think consistency is key. So like no matter which location I'm at, it's like the same morning routine that I would stick by. And it just helped me stay focused and also grounded as well, I would say.
What are some of your routines?
For me, what I do is I'll wake up in the morning and then I'll hit the gym. So I love to do my HIIT training or any sort of like high intense cardio training. And then what I'll do is I'll just, you know, of course, like I'll shower and stuff. And then after that, what I do is I meditate. I like to stage first. Like I like to stage or Palo Santo or like, you know, or set an intention.
Nice.
And then after that, I like to meditate sometimes just like silent for 20 to 30 minutes, no matter how, like, it just depends on like the, how much time that I have. Then what I do is I write down in my gratitude journal, like 3 things that I'm grateful for. Then what I do is I have these like a goal list. I have about like 10 to nine goals that I would like to accomplish in the next 2 years or so. So every day I write them down. I don't even miss a day. I just write them down. But yeah, and then after that, I'm ready to start my day.
Wow, that's really powerful. I've heard about this consistently writing your dreams down over and over. I tried it for a bit, but I didn't stick with that habit. Maybe I'll add that in because there's some big things I'm trying to manifest and make happen. And why not? I could use all the help I can get. So that's a good one. Yeah, I definitely exercise every day. It kind of varies when I do it, like yoga's in the morning. But then if I go to the gym, it's typically later in the day. Another thing I do is I do intermittent fasting. So I mean, little things like that, it just helps you feel in control and grounded no matter where you are, because travel can be so disruptive. I do a lot of traveling for conferences and big events where, again, like sometimes I have to stay in a hotel, not by choice. I'm having to go to restaurants, not being in control of my food. My day is super busy. I'm like doing a lot of in-person conversations, which I'm probably not used to as a remote worker. And so by having a couple of these things, it just makes me feel so much more grounded and so much more, I just want to say the word in control. I know that's a charged word, but it really just helps me feel, like in control.
Yeah, I love that.
Of the chaos.
Yeah, because the thing is like when you're in the move, everything's around you, there's all the changes. But in terms of the ritual, that is something that you can just keep it the same, right? So that way it's like your anchor point, like it grounds you.
Literally, yeah. Yeah, so that's so good.
Before we wrap up the show, I'd like to end it with three questions. So one is, share one truth about you that you stand by.
One truth that I stand by is, this one's kind of obvious, but it is a belief statement of mine, which is work should support your dream lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And work should be fit in around your dream lifestyle. And so I always take a lifestyle and life first approach when I'm setting my goals or thinking about what I want to make happen. Mm-hmm. And I leverage work to support that. Maybe for people hearing that, it is more transformative. For me, it feels so basic because I've been doing it for so long. So many people do look at it the other way, where their life is to be lived outside of work. And I really think it's the opposite for me.
And what does it mean to you to live a conscious lifestyle?
Living a conscious lifestyle to me is living authentically and doing the work to define what authenticity even is for me. Because sometimes people will say, okay, I want to be authentic. I want to be myself. I want to live life on my own terms. Have you really done the work to even define those things? What are your ideals? What is your ideal way of living? And so yeah, living consciously is doing the inner work, using first principles, really questioning things and thinking for myself and calling out my biases, and then creating a life that reflects that.
And what impact do you want to leave on this world?
I really want to free people from a life that they don't love. I think that it's so sad to just be in a place where you just accept that a shitty situation is just how it has to be. I see so many people live out their life like that, live out their life via obligations or expectations from others, or just accepting something negative because they don't have the courage or the knowledge to do something different. I want to help as many people free themselves from a life they don't love and help them see life is truly a gift and you get one shot at it. So let's go for what we actually want.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks.
Lovely to have you on the show, Sam.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you're notified when a new episode is posted. Rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends. Thanks so much for listening and I hope you're leaving feeling inspired to be your best authentic self.